Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Watch Me Die, Last Words. From Death Row by Bill Kimberlin is a sobering examination of capital punishment through the lens of final statements made by people executed in the United States. Rather than arguing only through statistics or legal theory, the book focuses on the human voice at the moment society exerts its ultimate power. Kimberlin gathers and contextualizes last words to reveal patterns of remorse, defiance, faith, love, anger, and silence, and to show how executions affect not only the condemned, but also victims, families, correctional staff, attorneys, journalists, and witnesses. The result is a portrait of death row that is intimate without being sensational, inviting readers to wrestle with what final statements can and cannot tell us. By centering language, ritual, and record-keeping, the book also raises questions about who controls the narrative of a life at its end. It is a challenging, reflective read for anyone seeking a clearer view of how the death penalty is experienced and remembered. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the meaning and limits of last words. A central theme is what final statements represent in a system built on procedure. Last words are often treated as a moral summary, a confession, an apology, or a final act of defiance, but the book highlights how unreliable that expectation can be. Some people speak to their families, some address victims' families, some preach, some claim innocence, and some refuse to participate at all. The range matters because it challenges a simple story that executions bring closure or reveal truth. A final statement is shaped by extreme stress, the presence of witnesses, the constraints of prison policy, and the awareness that every word will be recorded and judged. Kimberlin uses these realities to encourage readers to interpret last words carefully, as a form of public speech occurring inside a tightly controlled ritual. The topic also explores the difference between a personal goodbye and a public performance, and how audiences project meaning onto brief remarks. By foregrounding ambiguity, the book pushes the reader to consider whether society should grant such statements disproportionate authority in debates about guilt, remorse, or redemption. Secondly, recurring emotional patterns, remorse, denial, love, and faith across many executions, the book identifies emotional categories that recur with striking frequency. Remorse can appear as direct apology, indirect acknowledgement, or religious language about forgiveness and grace. Denial may be framed as wrongful conviction, unfair sentencing, or insistence that the system is corrupt. Love often surfaces in messages to mothers, children, partners, and friends, emphasizing relationships rather than the crime itself. Faith can function as comfort, a moral defense, or a claim that a higher authority will judge the situation differently than the state does. This topic shows that the moment is rarely only about the legal case, it is about identity, belonging, and fear. Kimberlin also draws attention to how some statements attempt to manage other people's emotions, urging loved ones to be strong or telling victims' families to heal. The patterning is important because it suggests that executions do not produce a single predictable psychological outcome. Instead, they expose how different people try to create meaning under irreversible conditions. For readers, these themes make the death penalty debate less abstract and more connected to the emotional realities that surround violence and punishment. Thirdly, execution as ritual and the state as narrator, the book treats the execution chamber as a stage where roles are assigned and language is regulated. The condemned person is granted a narrow window to speak, but the state controls timing, environment, and documentation. Kimberlin examines how official practices such as witness lists, scripted procedures, and public records shape what is later remembered. Last words become part of an archival system that can appear objective while still reflecting institutional power. This topic explores how the state seeks legitimacy through ritual, the orderly sequence of events, the clinical tone, and the promise that the punishment is carried out humanely and consistently. Yet the very need for a ritual can be read as evidence of moral uncertainty, an attempt to domesticate violence through bureaucracy. The book also points to how media coverage and public fascination can distort the purpose of records, turning the end of a life into a consumable story. By focusing on narration and control, Kimberlin invites readers to ask who benefits from the way executions are framed. The topic ultimately challenges readers to consider whether the state can ever be a neutral storyteller when it is also the actor carrying out the killing. Fourthly, victims' families, witnesses, and the question of closure. Another major topic is the impact of executions on people beyond the condemned. Last words are often addressed to victims' families, sometimes with apology, sometimes with anger, and sometimes with silence. The book considers how these moments are commonly linked to the promise of closure, yet closure is neither guaranteed nor universally desired. For some, hearing an apology may validate grief, while for others it may feel insufficient, manipulative, or too late. Kimberlyn also considers the experience of witnesses such as relatives, spiritual advisors, attorneys, journalists, and prison personnel, each of whom carries a different burden from the event. The topic highlights that the execution is not a private endpoint but a public encounter, and that emotional aftermath can last for years. By bringing attention to multiple perspectives, the book complicates simplistic narratives in which the execution cleanly resolves a crime. It suggests that the death penalty can prolong trauma by tying healing to a scheduled event and by creating expectations about what the condemned should say. Readers are left to consider whether the state can responsibly promise closure through a process that is inherently contentious and psychologically unpredictable. Lastly, ethical and policy questions raised by recorded final statements, using last words as evidence, the book naturally raises broader questions about the death penalty as a policy. If final statements show deep remorse in some cases, what does that imply about rehabilitation, mercy, or alternative sentencing? If statements contain claims of innocence or allegations of unfairness, what do they suggest about error risk and irreversible punishment? Kimberlyn uses the collected voices to point toward the moral stakes of a system that cannot correct itself after an execution. This topic also addresses how society interprets suffering, whether visible fear, calm acceptance, or spiritual confidence changes the perceived justice of the outcome. The book encourages readers to separate emotional reaction from policy evaluation while also acknowledging that emotion is part of democratic decision-making. Questions about transparency emerge as well, including what records should be public, how they should be presented, and how to avoid exploitation of human death. By grounding ethical debate in real final statements rather than slogans, Kimberlyn offers a lens for readers across the political spectrum. The topic ultimately invites a sober assessment of whether capital punishment aligns with values such as dignity, fairness, accountability, and the prevention of future violence. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand capital punishment beyond court rulings and crime headlines, including students of criminal justice, ethics, sociology, journalism, and public policy, as well as any citizen trying to form a thoughtful opinion. It can benefit a reader's life by strengthening critical thinking about how institutions use language and ritual to justify power, and by building empathy without requiring agreement with any single viewpoint. Encountering last statements encourages reflection on accountability, grief, forgiveness, and the limits of certainty, themes that extend into everyday moral decision-making. Compared to many books on the death penalty that focus primarily on legal history or advocacy, Kimberlyn's approach stands out for its disciplined attention to the human record at the very end of life. The collected final statements create immediacy, while the surrounding context helps readers avoid reducing them to spectacle. That combination makes the book worth buying for those who want both emotional reality and analytical distance. It does not rely solely on abstract arguments. It shows how the debate sounds in the voices of people who cannot speak again, and it challenges readers to think carefully about what society chooses to do in its name. If you would like to support Bill Kimberlyn, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.